It is Locked On Jazz for the 1st of February, a Facebook Live edition with a ton of your questions. We'll look at how much better the Jazz are playing as of late, why managing a trade deadline is so nearly impossible as Phoenix throws a curveball into the whole plans, both good and bad at the same time for Utah, plus injuries and the rest screw it all up. And your questions, it's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. I got to try to do something crafty here because the picture is cutting off my head. There. Oh, bam. I just fell to the ground. I fell to the ground and crashed. Hope everything's going well. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you expertise, insight, maybe even a little geeky number here too, and a look behind the curtains. We do this each and every day. We appreciate you very much. This Facebook Live edition is brought to you today by Shamrock Auto. Thank you very much to Shamrock Auto out in Pleasant Grove. Rob Taylor and the crew. Not Rob Thomas, Rob Taylor and the crew. That's a long time joke. I kept calling them the Matchbox 20. So here's what they do. They get you nearly new cars, find them in great conditions because Brady Kimball, who's his general manager, used to be a mechanic. So he's the one out buying everything, knows exactly what shape everything's in. And then Rob wants to make sure you have this unbelievable experience. Out the door pricing in 5 minutes, test drive by yourself, buying experience in under an hour, full service, can do, financing in-house, value driven, Carfax report on every car. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs, Utah County assault vehicles, right? Great prices, super Google reviews. They're just past Point of the Mountains. If you're in Draper, Riverton, Sandy, just head down. Keep going down, and you're into Pleasant Grove. Independent car dealership, and they really do wonderful work. And if you just go read all of the Google reviews, it tells you everything you know about Rob and the company that they run down there in Pleasant Grove at Shamrock Auto Group. So check it out. Do a little Google search on it. See it, and you'll see what we're talking about, of what a bunch of good people we have being involved there on this Thursday, Facebook Live edition. All right, let's get right to it. Last night, it's announced that Greg Monroe is going to be bought out before the trade deadline. So that's really interesting. Usually what happens is that Phoenix is shopping Greg Monroe, trying to get him moved, and then if they can't, then they buy him out beforehand. Now, why Phoenix would be doing this before the deadline, I'm not sure. I'm missing some sort of mechanic and understanding of why they would do that. But now this has a huge impact. That impact is, on one end, the impact is the fact that it's you're dealing with a guy who now is out there and available and basically free. So really, somewhat surprising that you're going to end up having a team give him away for free. It leads me to believe, if you take logic, that Phoenix couldn't get anything for him. Now that is a little daunting if you're the Utah Jazz. Derek Favors is better than Greg Monroe, but on the other end, it's a little daunting that that they're not getting anything for him on the marketplace. Okay, so that's concerning to me if I'm Utah. The other one is that there's a player out there that's not, you know, as good, but is not a million times worse, and he is suddenly free. Like, he's just cash. Now, that to some extent might be a statement of where Phoenix is and what Phoenix is willing to take back and a bunch of things of that sort, but it's still a little troublesome. So the bad news for the Jazz on this, and then I'll elaborate to a bigger picture. The bad news for the Jazz on this is, well, now here is this guy that maybe Cleveland or somebody else, Milwaukee probably doesn't want Monroe, but was interested in, and they can go get him for free rather than going to pay for, give up something for Derek Favors. So that's the first bad news. The good news, ironically enough, if you're still in the Nikola Mirotic deal, is that Nikola Mirotic might be somebody who would go to New Orleans, as they've already talked about, though my reports, according to my sources on this, are that the owner blocked that deal, and so it's not happening. It's not like, oh, they need one little adjustment and that deal's going to happen. Like, the New Orleans-Chicago thing is dead, from what I've been told. My sources across the league have told me that. Two different people. We'll see whether it's true. Guys around the league can be wrong, and also guys around the league can be right at the moment they talk to me, and then things change and the world changes. So on the Mirotic end of things, maybe San Antonio's a suitor and they have a late first round draft pick they're willing to give up. Well, if they go get Greg Monroe, then all of a sudden they're not a suitor anymore. Maybe Boston is a suitor and they have a million picks that they can go give up, but maybe if they go get Greg Monroe, then they're not a suitor anymore. So the funny game that here, and this is what makes making deals from, if you're Dennis Lindsay, so incredibly difficult, and timing, and how do you deal with things, and what do you do, and when do you, and how do you react, and when, it is just a crazy concept. So again, to summarize, I think that Greg Monroe is bad news if you're trying to move Derek Favors. Good news if you're trying to acquire Nikola Mirotic. Now, what's so crazy about this is if you're Dennis Lindsay, when do you try to pull deals? When do you show your hand? When do you expose what you're interested, what you're willing to give up? Do you give it, and then they say no, and then they know, and boom, you have to keep going? It's a very complicated, do you hold out till the end because then someone's desperate and maybe you get a better deal? But if you hold out the landscape of the deal changes dramatically throughout the whole process. Or the landscape of the NBA changes. Kevin Love gets hurt. That changes things. So it's really, really tricky, on how this all plays out. And I think that's one of the things we have to understand in this. You know, for example, Cleveland, the Jazz, I would say, in Cleveland logically have some discussions here. Like, that, those are, Cleveland needs help. We have really good players. There's a possibility here that we could help. But they're also talking to the Clippers for DeAndre Jordan and maybe even for Lou Williams, though I doubt if they have Isaiah Thomas. And so, to some extent, you're now at the point where you're at kind of the, you have to wait until the Clippers get together with what they want. Maybe that's their first choice is DeAndre Jordan, or they want to at least know what the price of DeAndre Jordan is along the way. So these things just get so, so complicated. Ben Standing of Locked On Wizards just reported that, from what he's understanding, he does not think the Wizards are in play, as has been talked about, for Monroe, but that he thinks the Pelicans are. And Monroe, if he has his choice, is from New Orleans. So very many people want to do that. Joakim Noah is also out there after his blow-up recently. With Jeff Hornacek, and that developed yesterday. So this is what's so nearly impossible about all of this, is that the landscape is changing. At this point, if you're trying to acquire talent, you probably have to get to force the deal to be done today before the landscape changes again. You probably have to go even further and give more than you want to. Whereas as the deal gets closer to the end of the situation, you probably can get things quicker when people have to move someone or they have to acquire someone, the desperation. The problem is, what side are you on of that table? Like, where are we on the desperation side of having to move Derek Favors? Are we on a desperation side of having to move Rodney Hood? I don't think so on Rodney. Derek's interesting just because I think the possibilities of Derek, a role for Derek where he wants to come back at a dollar figure that's good for the Jazz, is a difficult one to accomplish. I understand our Facebook Live feed is popping in and out. I apologize. We're actually having that problem at arenas too. I think it actually might be a Facebook Live issue, just that they're taking too much bandwidth to do their videos right now. We'll see whether or not that continues. I've got some, I call them good friends. We're gonna have lunch together in San Antonio, in fact, who run a really cool place called The Store, out at 6200 South and about 20th East. And it's a grocery store. Right next to it is the Cottonwood Ace, which has the best Traeger lineup of display of anyone around, and Green Egg, if with this weather you're starting to think about barbecuing. But what's so wonderful about The Store is the feeling in a day and age where everything is a chain. You feel like you're in a spot that actually is yours. I go out of my way to stop by and see the guys at The Store because of that exact feeling. You feel like you're in a community spot. Jeff and Scott take the time to go to food shows all across the country and find special items. They just got a new deal with Jacobson Salt they're very fired up about, which is really fabulous, fabulous stuff. And you can tell that there is a element of a human touch when you go to The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. And that might be the best way I can describe it. Whether it's the fact that the chocolate mudslide cookie is now called the David Locke Special, which, you know, I think is really cool, or whether or not it's just the fact that you can kind of feel it, that you can feel that there is somebody making an extra effort to make things superb. And to me, that's what's so cool when you're dealing with The Store. 6200 South, 20th East. We're going to have, starting in March, we're going to try to get out a Locked On Jazz listener card for you. But if you're out at 6200 South, 20th East, stop by. You can get the mudslide cookie, which is the best cookie in town. You can also go get the new kombucha stand. They got the what's it called? Coffee. I forgot the name of coffee. Cold brew. Nitro cold brew stand. I'm actually not a huge fan of Nitro, but I like theirs. It's good. The peanut butter, make your own peanut butter on the site. All sorts of fun things there. And I love my sneak away over there. The backside is always the orange juice. So that's my favorite part about it. All right, let's get to your questions. I want to take extra questions today with the trade line looming and everything like that. Where is good? I just got to reconnect. So I got to go over here to get my questions. All right, let me see if I can get all the questions up. I'm waiting. Where's is my guy Matt Moon going to be here today? Can you introduce me to Joe Ingles? I tell you, we're going to have to try to see this again, too. Zach wants to know, is there a lot to do in Phoenix? Well, the Waste Management Golf Tournament is going on there, so that place is going to be insane when we are there. Absolutely insane. I don't know. I don't think that I can make it out to the Waste. I'd have to miss shoot around tomorrow, which... it's part of my job, and get out to that tournament. It'd be so fun to go watch it, though. Kirk Stoddard wants to know, can you introduce me to Matt Moon? Maybe we can get all three of you together. Can you squash the theory that similar to other teams, as Facebook fails again? Let me see if I can. Nathan Baxter wants to know if anyone else is losing the broadcast. Yes, I am. When are we going to see a trade? Is Mirotić going to happen? When have you heard about through the grapevine? I mean, I don't think there's a grapevine. I think this is pretty well known. So Mirotić is interested in coming to Utah. If they don't pick up the second year of his contract, Mirotić can block the deal. New Orleans didn't want to pick up the second year of his contract. The Jazz cap situation is such that they really have almost no penalty. Very hard for the Jazz to come up with a lot of cap space next year if they, assuming they don't renounce Dante and they re-sign Dante, even without Favors, even without Hood, it'll be a little tough for the Jazz to get a lot of cap space next year. So signing Mirotić in his next deal makes some sense if you like him and think he's the right fit for what we're doing. And so I think that's, I still think that's a possibility. The Bulls have publicly said that they want a first-round draft pick for Mirotić. I just don't think we're giving up a first-round draft pick for Nikola Mirotić of the caliber, considering where we are in the draft right now. We're pretty well set, actually. If you start to look at it, we're awfully well set. The other one that's interesting, by the way, I was going to lead with this today, 538 has the Rockets, Warriors 1, Rockets 2, Timberwolves or Spurs 3, Thunder 4, Timberwolves 5, Blazers 6, Pelicans at 43 wins at 7. Clippers at 41 wins at 8. Jazz at 9 at 40. I feel like there should be a 10th team there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, they have Denver at 41 also. So they have the Clippers and Denver tying at 41 wins and us getting to 40, which would be quite a little run by us if we could get to 40. Pretty impressive. ESPN's projection, which I guess they now call BRI, used to be the John Hollinger system, has us finishing at 39 wins. So the two systems have us finishing pretty similarly. One of them has us at 40, the other at 39. And they both have the Clippers and Denver at 41 wins, tied for the eighth spot. So, and those systems are probably similar, but I have to kind of discount any playoff hopes. That may be swinging. I mean, if we go take 3 out of 4 on this road trip, it might really swing. I haven't looked to see what we're favored in or not, but interesting. I don't think that should impact our trade deadline. I still think we should probably make the moves that we need to make for the trade deadline to make them correct. We are favored in Phoenix. We are unlikely to win against the Spurs. We are a pretty good underdog against the Pelicans. And in Memphis, we're favored to win. So that if we go 3-1 on this trip, we would steal one. Can you squash the theory that similar to other teams, Mirotić and Evans, the Jazz are sitting Hood because they plan to trade him? If they were, wouldn't they be sitting Favors? I think that is accurate. And, I mean, Rodney participated in portions of practice recently and then just didn't feel right. So he's pulling himself. The Jazz are not pulling Rodney at this point, I think is a fair way to say it. I kind of think Rodney's going to play here now that we're on the road for these games coming up here. Spencer, good question about Monroe. Is Kevin Love a relic in the modern NBA? Incredible question. And I don't know. And I a little bit don't know on Blake Griffin either. Two pretty damn good players that we start referring to him as a relic in the NBA seems like a pretty outlandish thought. But you might, I think the fact that Love is shooting 5 to 6 threes a game at 37% for his career. He's a little higher this year, but he's over the 750 number that we talk about all the time. And if you go to his first seven, you know, and he was not a natural, by the way. He really developed this. He was 2 of 19 his first year, playing almost all in the post. And then he shot 33% his next year, and then he went to 42, and then he had a terrible year in there. And so he's really kind of got himself as a three-point shooter now. The only thing on Love that makes him a relic is whether he's so bad defensively that when you're switching 1 through 4, he's a liability. Mirotić is not a great defensive player either. So some of it's whether you can position yourself well or not. I don't think Love is, I think a relic. I think Love could be really reborn if he got somewhere else at this point. He's an incredible rebounder, still elite level rebounder, great passer. I mean, his assist numbers just keep dropping. He was averaging 4.5 assists a game in Minnesota. He's now down to 1.5. It's as though his game's just not being used. I think he could be a great passer. I don't know if he's got the handle to be kind of a point forward. He's still an elite-level rebounder where I think offensive rebounding has regained value. The question on him is twofold. Is one, whether his body's breaking down in any way, the fact that he hasn't played more than 77 games in the last 5 years. He played 60 last year, and he's now going to be out and play about 55 to 60 this year. And he's 29 years old. He'll turn 30 before you start the next season. Mirotić is probably not as good a player, but he's younger. Like, he's 26 years old. His birthday coming up here, he'll turn 27 on the February 11th, which happens to be my daughter's birthday, so I'm sure he's fabulous. He's a similar three-point shooter who's gotten a little bit better this year. He's crossed over the 750 mark also and was at about 35%, so he's not quite as good. He's not the same passer, but his assist numbers are the same. He's certainly not the rebounder. Defensively, he's probably a little bit I'm going to call him the same. He's 220 instead of 250. So I'm going to call him his lack of rebounding could be a major issue. So I don't think Kevin Love is a relic, but I do think it's an interesting discussion point. And I kind of give you credit for bringing it up. I think it's a complicated one, certainly. Does the Blake Griffin trade impact the trade market for Derek Favors? Well, Detroit was a potential trade partner for the Jazz, but probably in the light of Rodney Hood, since they had decided they didn't like Avery Bradley, more than Blake Griffin. And Spence Checkets of 1280 The Zone reported yesterday that they were not interested in Rodney because of the money. So I would give... So maybe in that sense it impacted. I don't think Favors was going either to Clippers or Detroit. And I don't think that Blake Griffin and Tobias Harris were players that a lot of people expected to have be moved. And so I don't think it has an impact on Favors. I don't know what happens with Favors. Again, Spence Checkets of 1280 The Zone on the afternoon show yesterday reported to me that he heard that there were some people that really were out there to pay Favors, which I think is great because I had heard the opposite. And I would hate it if Derek ended up on the wrong side of a salary situation again. He deserves better than that. So I would hope that he can get, he's fought those injuries. He's got himself all the way back. He's playing with athleticism again. I would certainly hope he gets a great payday coming up. I had heard that he might not, that he might just get a 1-year, $10 million deal. Spence said that he had heard there were a bunch of people with open space that were likely to pay him. So I hope that's the case for Derek. That's just where things are with Derek and the Jazz, is it seems unlikely that the Jazz are going to be willing to pay Derek Favors at a number that's right for him. And Derek, it seems unlikely that Derek Favors is interested in being a backup center for the majority of his minutes and not closing games when he looks in the free agency market. Now, if the market goes really dry, then maybe that's going to be part of the problem for him, is that it is exactly that. I don't know. But I certainly hope that he's able to get the money that he wants at this point in his career. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Advocates. Always impressed by the work that Matt and The Advocates do. It's a neat process. I was so impressed. When I sat down with him, I didn't know much. And as he always tells the story, we go to dinner parties. And for the longest time, I used to be like, oh, well, I'm a lawyer. Oh, what kind of law? And finally, his wife said to him, like, Matt, you've done a great job of building Utah Advocates up to help people. Why are you ashamed of being an injury attorney if you're helping people through the process that there's no way they can get through themselves? And that's so true, because none of us can battle the insurance companies. And that's really what you're doing. Because 1% goes to trial, 3% goes to arbitration. You're dealing with what you're going to receive from the insurance companies, and you better have some people on your side who know how to do it. All the accidents are different, but the process when those few amount go to trial or arbitration are the same. So that's where Utah Advocates kicks in. 25 years of work. They've mastered a 106-step process that sets them apart from other injury attorneys that break it up in this manner. You get a call within 60 seconds from an attorney when you call 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. The minute you make that call, you get an attorney within 60 seconds. They get your case rolling, and now it goes into their system. And inside their system are special teams players. Those players that are really good blocking backs or really good possession receivers or really good three-point specialists off the bench. And what they're doing is they're dealing with the hospitals. They know how to deal and get the records from the car company. They know how to get the deals from the insurance company. They know how to get the police records. Each individual, so they're great at the job and the task that they do in that 106-step process. And that's what separates Utah Advocates. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. More of your questions. Is Hood's way of playing making him injury prone? Oh, I don't know. That's an interesting question. We know that Burks had to change his... Alec was more flying in the air. I think Rodney, and I don't mean this critically. Like, I don't know how to say this. I think I said this the other day, and then someone retweeted it, and it made me feel as though it didn't come out the way I wanted. Certain guys need to feel right to perform, and I think Rodney's one of those guys. Rodney needs 100% of his cylinders clicking for him to go out and feel good about performing. Rodney is not one who I think at 72% feels like he can fight through the game and still be an effective player who performs at his apex. That's you know, Ingles is the opposite. Ingles is battling numerous things right now. Played 82 games last year. He's kind of pretty willing to go out there, give the best he can. There have been nights where Quinn finally, after 20 minutes, says, you know, you just don't have it. Like, sit down. You know, and they've pulled. Joe's not practicing with the same regularity, like in the same vigor that he would probably like to. And it's a little bit of just who Joe is, right? There was like a moment in practice where Mike Elliott is our strength, you know, was like, hey, Joe, we gotta kind of watch your load right now. And Joe's fighting him on it. Like Joe pretty easily, having played every game, playing 30 minutes, could sit down and take it easy. And Joe's fighting him on it. So that's a little bit, and I think in Joe's case, honestly, I think this is a guy who got the contract and is now really feels a huge obligation to performing to the contract. So I think that's will be there. We haven't mentioned Joe Johnson. Mark Stein has a report today that veteran Joe Johnson is angling behind the scenes for a trade out of Utah, according to league sources. It'll be interesting to see if he becomes a buyout contender should no deal materialize before February 8th. I don't know if I think that that is news. I think that Joe Johnson, more importantly, at this point in his career, 7 All-Star games, 21 guys have only played more minutes, deserves the right to be going to battle for a championship or late in the playoff run. And I think the Jazz respect Joe enough to give him that opportunity if it's there. So, you know, if it's the chances of trading Joe Johnson are almost none, because you got to bring the money back, and we probably don't want the money back, and the team we're trading him to is probably good enough that they don't want to send that much money back. And so we'll see whether or not, I think that Joe Johnson becomes, just logically, I don't know anything here. So if you have to bring back $8 million for Joe Johnson, unless it's somebody you really see that's perfect for you, or it could be somebody that the other team isn't planning to sign and you actually have some interest in and want to take a sample on for 30 games, that's the case. But otherwise, I think that you're going to end up with Joe Johnson being a buyout candidate. And the Jazz, I think, are really interested in making sure that Joe Johnson gets treated correctly. Mark Stein's report there. Will Donovan average 20 points a game by year end? I think so. I haven't done the math on it, but it would seem likely. How much are we able to interact with players in between games on the road, on the plane, etc.? What is it like? The travel questions. I like the travel. You know, surprisingly little. For two reasons. One is, like, you don't want to be that guy that every single time they see you, they know they have to interact. So it's more that you might walk into the arena with him. My probably longest one this year was a walk back from Charlotte. Donovan and I walked back from the arena at Charlotte to our hotel. Sometimes you'll see Joe out at coffee and chat with him for a minute. Tabo, I used to see. Epe and I will talk about his book club a little bit. So those are... those are the ones that kind of you bump into. I talk to Faves. I mean, I've known Faves for a long time, and so I'll just see him and ask him how the girls are. They're brief. They're often in the elevator. They're often walking through one of our security lines. It's walking into the arena for a minute. They're brief. They're not lengthy conversations. So you get to see them a little bit. When Gordon was around, he and I occasionally would do lunch, but you have very rarely would you have a meal with a player. I don't have a lot in common with them, right? I don't think they would really want to hang out with me. So I think I would bore them to death. Neto and I walked back from Memphis last year and had a wonderful conversation 2 years ago about playing in the Olympics in Brazil. And so I would say this, there's just very little time. We don't interact on the plane. They sit in the front. We sit in the back. I sometimes have the barista thing going, and so I'll go get Joe or one of the guys a coffee. And so I might walk up there, but there's really no reason. And you would never do like any of your media work during that time period. If I have something I want to ask them about, I would never do it during that time period. That would be inappropriate. So it's surprisingly little, but anytime you have a moment of interaction, they're always very polite, good to deal with. And so you the answer is probably very, very little, but you're on the road together the whole time. You see each other face to face every day, which actually in my book is kind of what matters. Like, you end up talking just enough that you understand, they know you're there, and you, if you need something, then they're always pretty good about it. Let's continue with the questions. Apologize, I think the feed's been terrible for you today. What advancements in biotech affect performance enhancement rules in the NBA? Or, you know, Mike Elliott would have a, that's a great question, Michael. You ask good questions. I'm going to have to ask Mike Elliott that. I don't know the answer. Is it too late to extend favors to a deal he'll accept with an agreement that he just, that they try to get him to a team he signs off on the next season to actually get more assets and money for him? Yes, I think that window has closed. Good thought, though. I think that window has closed, and you know, there's really no reason why Derek would give up that freedom. I don't understand. You know, there's no explanation. Dan, who always has good things, can you get into Mitchell's off the ball numbers? I like how the Jazz aren't throwing him in a full-time primary handler so they can develop his off-ball skills, something Westbrook never learned. You know, I think we've seen it late in games. He struggles a little bit when he's got the ball in his hands. It was nice to have Ricky out there for him. The problem is exactly what happened the other night is that if Donovan's got the ball, someone's going to double off Ricky, which worked the other night. And frankly, the more I've begun to try to think about this mathematically, I wonder a little bit of whether or not actually a Ricky Rubio wide-open three might not be a better shot than anything else you're going to get late in the game. It's almost like, fine, we know you're going to double off him. You understand what I'm saying? We know you're going to double off him. And so if we know you're going to double off him, we're going to actually get it to him and he'll be wide open is maybe not a bad idea. Just quickly checking, and then I'll do January here in a second. So Donovan this year, when Rubio's on the court, he shoots 44%. When Rubio's off the floor, he shoots 44%. He, for the season, he shoots the three better when Rubio's off the court. The team is almost the same when Donovan and Rubio are on the court together. They're versus off the court shooting wise. Their plus minus is a little different. Checking January, which I cannot do by month, so let's just take last 15 games. That probably is most of January. Running the last 15 games slowly, which might be maybe the internet's my fault. While we wait for that to come down. Oh, here we go. Last 15 games, Donovan's shooting 3 percentage points better and 10 percentage points better when he's with Rubio. So recently, we're much better when Rubio and Donovan are together. And in fact, the team is a plus 9 in that time point and a minus 1.7 when Rubio's off. Donovan, without Rubio, shooting 44% and 27% from 3. He's shooting 48% and 38% for 3 when with Ricky. Far better combination there for Donovan, at least. For the rest of the guys, Ingles shoots far better. Ingles is at 55% and 56% from 3 when they're both on the floor. When it's just Donovan and no Rubio, Ingles is at 36% and 21% from 3. So he seems to be hurt by that. Rodney is almost never in that combination. Rodney playing without Rubio with Donovan has not been very good, 39-29. O'Neal plays almost exclusively with Donovan without Rubio and has been very good with that matchup. So it kind of goes both ways. All right, let me see if we can sneak in a... it is Pagliaccia Pizza. What is the question? Crystal wants to know. Pagliaccia Pizza is a pizza place in Seattle that is just incredible. The artistry was done by the Pearl Jam artist. So Pagliaccia Pizza is my favorite pizza in the world. It's out of Seattle. It's just absolutely fabulous. If you're ever in Seattle, make sure you go get it. I like their salads too. But that's what the shirt is. The shirt is for Pagliaccia Pizza. Is Rubio's play recently a fluke or does Gobert coming back actually help him? It probably helps him. They're probably learning a little bit of each other. And Rubio's key to everything is making his layups. Final one, would we have to give up to get Fournier or Mirotic, and would it make us better? We're going to just become completely foreign. Fournier is interesting. I think Orlando would move him, and I think we got to figure out whether we want him. how French do you want to be? Can we add Nicolas Batum too? And then Mirotic, I think we've talked about a great, great job. A great, great deal. All right, that wraps us up. We just dropped 35 minutes on a Thursday. I hope you're great. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Phoenix. We'll see what happens because this league is wacky and crazy and wild. And you never know what else is going to happen. What was the Pagliacci pizza conversation? I got to get better internet. Yeah, I'm not convinced that it's me, by the way. We're having a problem with Facebook Live in every arena we're in all the time. We may switch to another format. All right, talk to you soon.